Welcome back to Exodus as we arrive at the turning point in our journey. Actually, it's more of a stopping point, too. After 3 months, the Israelites have arrived at Mount Sinai.
Here at Mount Sinai, God will give them the law. Everything in the universe runs on rules, from living cells to orbiting planets, from software codes to national constitutions. Every person, relationship, business, economy, and society operates at some level on a set of rules. Rules guide us in cooperation and collaboration. Even when they get broken, the rules provide justice and mercy. So God has a set of rules for the Israelites, known simply as the law.
For Israel, God's law will be more than just rules to keep order. The law forms a covenant between Israel and their God. Now, a covenant is a binding agreement, the terms that form a relationship. We use covenants to form a marriage or to start a business. And as the Bible unfolds, God uses a set of covenants to form a relationship with mankind.
Now, the Israelites have a covenant in place already through Abraham. God promised descendants, land, and a blessing to the whole world. But now, right here at Mount Sinai, God enters into another covenant with Israel, the covenant of law, also known as the Mosaic covenant. It will not override Abraham's covenant. So what does it mean to us today? Let's dig in and find out.
In Exodus 19, the Israelites are 3 months in on their journey, and they set up camp in the desert, right at the foot of Mount Sinai. The Lord calls to Moses and has a message for him to deliver to the people. In verse 4, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation."
Those are the opening words of the Mosaic covenant. The terms of this contract will include many chapters ahead, but here, a summary of the essentials. First, God reminds the Israelites that they have reason to trust him. God rescued them. He carried them on eagle's wings.
And verse 5 has the heart of the matter. "If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession." The law is a conditional covenant. If you obey, then you will be mine. And that's key. Abraham's covenant was unconditional. God simply promised. Our covenant in Christ is also based on God's promise and on Christ's work, not ours. Each covenant plays a role in the unfolding relationship between God and man. So what is the role of law?
To start, take note of the if. If you obey me fully. To keep this covenant, the Israelites have to obey God's law fully. If they do, then they will be his treasured possession, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.
A kingdom is a place and a people where the king rules. And a priest is one who represents God to the people and the people to God, like an ambassador. A kingdom of priests means that if the Israelites would obey God's law, they would represent God to the world, a holy nation set apart by God for his purpose and calling.
And that is the core of the Mosaic covenant. If you obey, then you will be. Now, the Mosaic covenant is not between God and Christians. We have a new covenant. But there is much for us to learn from the law, if we understand it in context and its place in God's plan. See, Peter tells us that when we come to Jesus and trust in him, that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. That doesn't mean that Christians replaced the Jews. It means that when Jesus fulfilled the law, he made it possible for all of us, Jews and Gentiles, to enter his plan, set apart, representing him, his treasured possession.
Back in Exodus, Moses delivers the message to the elders. And in verse 8, the people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." And with that commitment, the Israelites commit themselves to the covenant.
They're committed, so God prepares a big event to make it official. Verse 9, "The Lord said to Moses, 'I am going to come to you in a dense cloud, so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you.'" He tells Moses to have the people consecrate themselves. Wash clean, hands off your spouse, and prepare yourselves because on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people.
Then verse 12, put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death.
Now those are some serious instructions. Feel the gravity of this day, of what it takes to form covenant with the Almighty God, creator of the universe. Picture the scene. 2 million Israelites encamped in the desert, preparing to meet with God. Mount Sinai, over 8,000 feet tall, 2,500 meters, looms large. And don't touch the mountain by penalty of death. And day 3 arrives in verse 16. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled.
Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain.
Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently.
As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him.
This is intense. Lightning, thunder, the Lord descends in fire on the mountain. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, then this is a good place to start.
And with a resounding trumpet blast, God calls them to draw near. The trumpet of God will sound once more at the rapture when God calls his people home.
And here, as the trumpet grows louder, Moses speaks, and the voice of God answers. Then verse 20, the Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain.
So Moses goes up, and God tells him to go back down. Make sure that the people do not push through and touch the mountain. So Moses goes back down again. And what happens next? We'll have to wait.
What? It just got good. The Ten Commandments are 2 verses away.
But the chapter's over, so how about we step back and get the big picture on the law?
All right, good thinking. Now, looking ahead, there are 3 types of laws here. First is moral law, ethical rules about right and wrong, like the Ten Commandments. Those apply to everyone.
Second is civil law, how to run society and live in community. Those were for Israel back then, but we can learn a lot about good laws, getting along, and about God's character.
And third is ceremonial law. The rules for worship, for the tabernacle, priests, sacrifices, those are for the Jews. But we will learn a lot about Jesus, the cross, and how we form relationship with God.
And above all, we learn how to love. Jesus summed up the law in 2 commands, love God and love your neighbor. Our relationship with the law has changed, but we are always called to love.
But there is one more essential lesson of the law. We can't do it. See, God's law lays out in detail how to live righteous. The law is good, but we are not. The law shows us what it means to truly be good, but it can never make us good. It can restrain your hands, but it can't change your heart. See, the moral law shows us how to be right with God and drives it home that we are not. The civil law shows us how to do right by our neighbor and convicts us again that we often do not. We need mercy and we need a Savior. And so the ceremonial law, the laws of worship and sacrifice, point us to the cross, to Jesus, the only one who can make us right.
Now, all of that is ahead, so read Exodus 19 today, and we'll dive into God's law at the foot of Mount Sinai tomorrow.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.